I work with a lot of theater groups.
Yeah, in fact, you were just telling me about a performance coming up in January called Across the Border.
Yes.
And where's that taking place again?
The Across the Border is taking place on the Baptist Church on 7th Street.
Okay.
And I don't have the exact number of the church right now, but Across the Border is a play about immigrants traveling from Mexico to the United States, and it is written and by Manuel Camacho, and it is produced by a company called Tosco, which is a new theater company, which stands for Telling Our Authentic Stories Theater Company, and I'm working with this company amongst other companies, and it's Manuel Camacho is in the play, and it's going to be awesome.
Excellent. Very good. Denny, tell us a little bit about what happened after you left Delta, and where are you now?
Well, after I left Delta, I went on to Berkeley, and that was a time when way, way back then, you had all the riots. Taking the classes there, you sort of learned more outside of the class than inside because so much was going on.
Times of activism.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I had the luxury of being gassed by the blue meanies. That was
okay.
The sheriff's department from Alameda.
And he's been like this ever since.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, it never was the same again.
So I got a psych degree there. I came back and I worked with San Joaquin County. I worked with them now for 35 years, and I retired about 8 years ago. And I was in Child Protective Services.
Oh, wow. At that time, did you feel like you were a lifelong activist, or you would be a lifelong activist, or was that was it intentional?
At one point, I thought I was going to go to Canada.
Okay.
That was a way of avoiding the draft. But luckily, when they had the draft, my number was 364.
Oh, okay.
Goodness.
But my roommate was number 14, so he went with the 101st Airborne.
Okay.
And
excellent.
I came back here. Yeah.
Very good. Well, obviously, I've been fortunate enough to live in a time where we haven't had a draft. We haven't had the need for it, fortunately. And we are thankful to everyone who has put in that service, whether volunteering or otherwise. Dad, Abraham Mackey,
yep.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm great.
Tell us a little bit about where you went after Delta and sort of your path to get to where you are now. Just, you know,
sure.
In 100 words or less. No.
Sure. Well, like Denny, he went to Berkeley. I went across the bay to San Francisco State and ran right into a big riot there.
S.I. Hayakawa.
Yeah, and that's when the Reagan was governor, and he fired the president, President Smith, and installed Mr. Hayakawa to settle things down. And yeah, I didn't get gassed, but I was standing in the middle of the quad when the tax squad came through on horseback. And I don't know, I was like the invisible man. They just went right by me.
Okay.
Maybe it was the look on my face of, but from there, I went to Stanislaus State College, and that's when I got into drama. I got a BA there, went on down to United States International University that had one of the top school of performing arts in the country in those days, and I got a master's degree in theater.
Excellent. And here you are.
And here I am.
And how much of that master's degree did you
Don't talk about that. No, I end up going into the ministry for really about 25 years.
Sure.
And but in the ministry I learned I learned how to be a publication producer.
Yeah.
And I got into printing, and I made a career the last 25 plus years selling, printing, and marketing, and I retired last year.
So what are some of the things that you remember from Delta College during your time there? Obviously, Delta is a place of transition for most students. We have a significant career technical education program, which is where students come in with the idea of getting placed in a
sure.
job. But
yeah.
For the most part, students come here as their first couple years of their bachelor's.
Yeah.
So for you, what was that like?
Well, there were so many of us that came from Stag High here. It was just like a continuation of high school for me.
Okay.
And it wasn't on this campus, because this campus was still part of the
Old State Hospital.
Yeah, help me here, Denny. It was a dairy farm that was used to help rehabilitate people that were having emotional difficulties. So this was just, it was a farm out here. So Delta College, in its very beginning years, was actually on the UOP campus, on the south side of the campus, on Mendocino Avenue.
And was it UOP at the time?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
UOP helped spawn the vision for this community college. And I had a great time those couple of years. They were actually transformative years for me because a friend of mine got me involved in karate.
Okay.
And they had a great karate class here. And, man, that was... that helped me so much just in my way of looking at life and everything, you know. I was no longer afraid of somebody coming and beating me up. In fact, I thought, let them try, you know. No, it was a great time at Delta College in those days, I thought.
And you did the 2 years?
I did the 2 years.
Excellent.
I got my AA.
Yeah, I did the 2 years. What I remember most about it is people don't remember the Quonset huts. The art classes were in these World War II, metal type enclosures. And the greatest thing around there was the ceramics class that was there.
Okay.
And the great artist that turned out from that era.
And Denny is an amazing artist.
Oh, is that right?
Well, now that I'm retired, I get to do my art. And
okay.
So I belong to the Goodwin Art Gallery here in Stockton.
See, I've known Denny since seventh grade, and in seventh grade he was doing art and stuff that was really great back at the old Stockton Junior High School.
Yeah. The great thing about being in art then, you had this was cool school service art, and I had a pass to go anywhere at any time to put up the different artwork that we'd use on campus.
Okay,
so that was a great thing to have.
Yeah, I'll bet. That sounds fantastic. We are going to actually go to a quick break here. You stay tuned to Delta 360 for more community-based programming. We will we'll be right back with more Delta students from the 60s. I have that correct, right?
Right.
Okay, fantastic. Stay tuned to KWDC.
The amazing 60s.
Yeah. The voice of Stockton, 93.5.
You're now listening to Delta 360 on KWDC 93.5 FM, the voice of Stockton.
Thanks for sticking around with us. It is Delta 360, and I'm your host, Matt Mackey. And I'm in studio today with...
Val Akoba.
Denny Ottai.
Abraham Mackey.
And the thing we all have in common here is that we're all Delta students, past and present, and we were just talking about, tell our listeners what you were just telling me, Val, about the homecomings.
In the mid-60s, 60 to 68, when I went to Delta, they used to have fantastic homecomings. There would be lots of clubs, and each club would make a float. There'd be very long, with lots of floats and bands, and the bands from the high schools around down Pacific Avenue, and there was a float competition, and the float I worked on came in first.
Oh wow! See, now this is why it's memorable then.
Yes, and besides having the parade, they would have something that they could probably never have now because of permits. They had a giant bonfire. Out in the field, okay? Bonfires, no, they won't do that now. And after the bonfire, they would have entertainment on a stage that they built up and near the bonfire, and then there would be this massive dance that was done in a hall at Delta College. I know this because at one particular point, I was the rallies commissioner.
Okay? Ah. No, so let me ask you. You're talking about involvement in student clubs and the floats the floats made by the clubs. Were any of you involved in any other student clubs or any other extracurricular activities?
Well, I loved
here?
Art, and what you had is Alpha Rho Tau, which was the art club.
Okay.
And so, with a lot of things that we would do is do these fundraisers, but two, at the same time as being part of the art group, you got a chance to do all these crazy artworks on campus.
What can you give us an example? Are you talking about paintings or sculpting? What type of medium were you using?
What was going on in art at that time were these happenings. So a number of the art students would come up with some crazy idea, and we'd launch that on campus. So a lot of things that we did then is basically illegal now.
Oh, okay.
We had smoke-ins, and grass was very prevalent there.
Sure.
So it was a fun time.
Okay. All right. Again, not something I don't know how feasible those sort of events would be today.
And since I'm not running for any political office.
You're not afraid what they find in your
right,
background.
Right.
Well, sometimes that's the best place to be. What about you, Dad?
I was the president of the Delta Karate Club.
Oh, there we go.
And one of the things we would do is do demonstrations around different parts of the campus in the big auditorium and stuff. We would we'd do a demonstration, and in fact, that's how I got an A in my art class, because Miss McDaniel, who was one of the art teachers, loved Oriental art, and I said, "Well, I'd like to do as my final project. I'd like to bring in the best of the karate class, and we'll do a demonstration." She loved it. And so that's what I did.
Now, that's extremely relevant, because just in a couple of weeks, 10 days, I guess, on the 21st, here at Delta College, Warren Atherton Auditorium, there is an event which I believe is actually sold out, or I think it's a free event, but I think all the tickets have been spoken for. And this is something you know about, correct, Val?
Yes,
we were talking just briefly about Night of China. What do you know about the event?
Night of China is sponsored by the Delta organization, the Cultural Arts Program, and they have funded a lot of the money and fundraised for this event, which should be really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's really, the thing that I think is really impressive about it is that they're able to offer this event at no charge. It's open to the public, and of course they're marketing it specifically towards Delta students, and marketing is not even really the right word, because it is free, and they're going to have all sorts of performers. And now, I read this the first time, I didn't quite understand what this meant, and I'll read it so you can clarify if you have some insight here. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind kung fu dance performance that combines kung fu, martial arts, modern dance, ballet, drama, and technology. Do you know what that means? I'm fascinated. I want to find out what they're talking about.
I'm not sure, okay. But I know that the cultural arts program is very looks into what they promote very extensively, and
right.
I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, I believe Dr. June Wang is also very involved in promoting and hosting this event. So really exciting to see stuff like this happen here at Delta. I know there's a constant push from the administration to have events like this fairly regularly. Did you guys have traveling troops come in to Delta to perform, or were you entertaining yourselves at Delta back in the 60s?
We were entertaining ourselves, all right.
Well, we talked about the grass already. But did you have a lot of guests, performers come in and culturize you? I don't think that's a word.
I think it was not as strongly emphasized as it is now. However, Stockton was very segregated at that time, and Delta College was one of the places where people actually learned about other races
and
cultures. Mm-hmm. I remember in the little cafeteria that they had that, well, besides one high school in one area and one high school in another area, that it was very segregated, as Stockton was very segregated at that time. I graduated from Stagg High School, so I was absolutely delighted at Delta College to meet people of other races, of other social statuses, things like that. It was absolutely great, and Delta College was so encouraging. In that time they started their tutoring program. I remember tutoring in the tutoring program, and they also had work studies programs that that got people jobs. I remember. I was I got a job at Macy's from working in their work study program. Counseling was excellent. The counselors were so good. I had Beverly. She's Beverly Bosquet now, and she was a wonderful counselor. There was a counselor named Greenwood who was very, very encouraging and encouraging to minority students in particular. I really appreciate what they meant to my life, the counseling at Delta College when I went there.
Excellent. Danny, I'm curious to hear, what's your recollection of Delta in terms of cultural diversity when you were here as a student?
Well, one of the greatest things was, like Val was saying, most of us went to like Stockton Junior High. And at that point, that was very, very integrated. And then going to STAG, which was more or less segregated in a way, because we had, from what I remember, no black students.
Okay.
But then coming to Delta, I met all my friends that I had way back at Stockton Junior High. So it was this integration. And the great thing about Delta at that time, since it was the only junior college at that time, you had this ability to get back together. Another funny thing I was thinking about when Val was talking about Delta and some of the things going on is the way that we had enrollment.
Okay.
You could go way, way back. That's when we had the old IBM punch cards.
Okay.
So you had to go and look up all your different classes. You had to select things. They gave you this punch card, so you had to go run around and find if that class was open. They had to run it through this machine that was huge, electronic data processing. And then you prayed to God that you got your class. If you didn't, then you had to run around all over again. And so you have these punch cards, and then you try to find out, well, if you got in that class, do you want to trade? You know, I'll give you $10 worth of that.
Wow, that obviously wouldn't even be possible today,
right,
I think.
I know. So those are some of the things that came to mind about, things that went on at the old Delta.
Of course, you could also get all your books for $50.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky to get a book for $50, I think, these days. Dad, what would you say? Do you have any... what's your recollection in terms of cultural diversity here at Delta and in Stockton in general, sort of what Val and Denny were talking about?
Yeah, I can't say that that was a major thing in my mind. I do remember in the karate class, that was probably more culturally diverse than any other thing that I remember. Because there were Oriental kids in there, there were black kids in there, and so I got to know all of them, and we were all very competitive in our learning of that sport. Now, here's what comes to mind when I think of my actual classes and stuff at Delta.
Okay.
I had, in high school and before, I have no recollection of ever really having any philosophy. No introduction to philosophy. But when I came to Delta, there I took philosophy.
Laughlin.
Yes, and it was a fascinating class. I credit that class to kind of kickstarting my brain to think about how people thought about life, what life was, what the meaning of life was. I mean, if I ever thought about that before, believe me, I didn't dwell on it too long. But that teacher, and now you said his name, didn't
you? Laughlin.
Yeah, he was remarkable. He had a way of asking questions.
And he'd smoke a cigar in class.
Okay.
Fantastic.
So that was great.
Excellent. Well, I got more questions for you guys when we come back. We're going to run to a quick break. Stay tuned to Delta 360 on KWDC 93.5, the voice of Stockton.
Stay connected with us on KWDCradio.org.
You're now listening to Delta 360 on KWDC 93.5 FM, the voice of Stockton.
Welcome back, and we are here at the Studio G on San Joaquin Delta College campus in the Shima building. And we're talking with former Delta students from the 1960s, talking about what was Delta like back in the day. What was Stockton like back in the day? We were talking about the punch cards and hoping that you would get your classes, if you filled out the punch card correctly in the machine, would read it correctly. What other sorts of things at that time were the new technology? What were they introducing? You know, here today, every classroom has a projector and a computer and all these different things. What things do you remember being introduced on or around the time you guys were here that were considered new technology, whether they were helping you learn something or helping you get information?
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
In fact, something Denny said before the broadcast kind of sparked it in my mind. Delta had a psychology teacher back then, Mr. Maslow.
Richard Maslow.
Maslow. And Denny was reminding me that he was the son of the famous
Abraham Maslow
psychologist, who was a behavioral psychologist and is still studied his works and everything. Well, anyway, it took Mr. Maslow's class, and I can't remember what the application was for this, but I remember him taking the whole class outside the classroom and demonstrating a laser beam to us. And it was the first time this is 1967 or 68, so lasers were not a common
Wasn't something you would just pick up in the impulse aisle as you left the grocery store.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I remember him demonstrating, and it was a weak enough laser where he could actually point it in your eye. And so from across, like from a great distance, that red light it didn't fan out. It kept its pinpoint all the way, and that was new technology. It wasn't the way they ran the school or anything, but Mr. Maslow, who was a very fascinating psychology teacher and really taught us a lot about our behavior and everything, but that was, I got introduced to the laser beam.
Now, I'm curious, what was, you say you don't remember the actual reason, what the object lesson was?
There's a lot of things I don't remember.
Well, I do know that even during the breaks, you're talking about instructors, faculty members that stood out to you that you remember. Who are some of the people that made an impact on you that you remember? You've named a few. Are there any others that really stood out as someone that you really remember them because of the impact they had, or for maybe even other reasons?
The person that comes to mind was a U.S. history teacher, Dr. Raleigh. He also taught at UOP. One thing great about Delta, where a lot of the instructors not only were teaching at Delta, but we also got the chance of having some of those professors also from UOP.
Okay.
And one of the things we got into one of these as to what was going on with the world, Vietnam, and reading all these different atrocities that were happening there. And he said, you don't always have to trust what is written. Just because it's written doesn't mean it's true. And he's talking about the books that we were reading from.
Sure.
And so that's something I carried on with me. And then when I went to Berkeley, I took a class in critical thinking. And clearly all the things that he was talking about was coming back to me. And this was the truth at that time. You don't always believe what was said. And in the newspapers, in the magazines, my parents, it's here, it's got to be true. And I said, no. And the thing about the Vietnam War, some of the things going on and the different spins that were happening by our government, that's something that my parents at that point was saying, no, if it's written here, it's got to be. And I said, no, that's not the case.
So Delta College gave you your first dose of healthy skepticism.
Right.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm curious about that because I feel like for the most part, I've grown up in an era where we're a little more cynical these days. You know, you can't listen to that channel. They don't know what they're telling you. You have to listen to this channel. You can't get your news from here. You got to get your news from here. Was it really sort of the idea that back then, if it was broadcast or printed,
whatever Walter Cronkite said was true, was true.
Is that right?
Well, that was one side of the story. Then you had, one of the sayings back then is, you can't trust anybody over 30. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know that just today, in whether you're talking about media or any sort of information, everyone, you're always challenged to be more media literate and understand that whatever someone's saying, there's maybe an agenda, maybe something like that. What sort of struggles did you guys have as college students? Obviously, like you said, you were an activist. You were demonstrating against the war in Vietnam. And how did those things, I guess, and you sort of answered it already, where whether it starts with a teacher who introduces ideas to you that sort of teach you how to be skeptical, or I guess skeptical is the right word.
How to think.
Yeah.
That's the critical thinking class that was at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. It's not only, you have to have, instead of just a focus, you have to have this widespread vision of taking information in, worldly. Right. That's one of the things that I loved about Berkeley, is you met people from all over the world. At that time here at Delta, you got a smattering of that. But that opportunity going to that large of a university, you got to see how other people looked at what was going on even here in the United States from a world view.
Yeah, we have such a, even today, unfortunately, we still have somewhat of a closed attitude towards world events. You have to make an effort, it seems like, and a lot of youth, and I know this because I interview students on a regular basis here on campus to talk to them about world events and things, and it's a little alarming, the lack of knowledge of what's going on out there. How would you say it was the same with you here, where you'd have to really make an effort? And I guess this could apply to any time in your life, where you have to really make an effort to stay in touch with what's going on outside of your own small little world.
Definitely. That's something, well, that's part of our, it's taken this long. I'm 67 years old. And am I really mature at this time? I don't know. It's this constant exposure to what else is going on that's out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fortunately, we do have a student body that, regardless of what else you may think of them, we're extremely diverse here at Delta. One of the most diverse places that you'll find in Stockton.
Yes.
And Stockton itself has become far less segregated. Obviously, it's not perfect, but here at Delta, and you would expect this at most places of education, especially public places of education, to be sort of that melting pot. And I get to sit here most days and look out, and you get to see just every religion, every race, every ethnicity, and it's really, really very special. We even have a show here that's 2 to 3 every day, La Cultura, and it's all about culture. And they don't just focus on Spanish culture; they focus on all kinds of world cultures. And it's is that something that you would have had back in the day? Just because, I don't know if you guys, you didn't have a radio station, obviously, but was cultural diversity sort of that thing that people were constantly wanting to talk about, or was it something that you avoided? I'm just really curious personally about cultural diversity and how, obviously today, it's a huge emphasis. How big a part of your world was that back in the 60s?
I think that, I think we didn't think about it much.
No.
It wasn't something
our
that
friends were our friends.
Our friends. Yeah.
Okay.
That our neighborhood, who we grew up with, was more important than worrying about cultural diversity. I think the emphasis on cultural diversity came more in the 70s, when there were more classes in the colleges that spoke of the histories and cultures of different ethnicities.
Yeah.
But we're a little before that. We are the flower children with the pretty music.
Yeah. And see, I had a similar experience that, like Denny was talking about. I went to Stockton Junior High School, and I, at the time, I was living in North Stockton, which was primarily white neighborhoods. But when we went to Stockton Junior High, it drew from kids from all over, South, North, and so there was cultural diversity. We didn't call it cultural diversity. We just knew there was a lot of black kids that were involved in our classes that became friends of ours, and then Stag, it kind of got lost again. But coming back to Delta, I can see what Denny was saying. We were all a part of it together. And I think the thing that Delta College and community colleges all over do is they really provide this transition. Because when you're in high school, at least when I was in high school, I wasn't thinking about what I was going to do with my life. I was getting through high school. That's all I thought about. And at Delta was the first time when I sat down with a counselor. I don't remember the counselor's name or anything, but I remember the counselor says, "What do you want to do?" Well, he had to help me pick a major, which at the time I picked business. And I didn't exactly know why, what I was going to do with that. But that was a choice of mine, and it helped jog my thinking as a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, just last year here at Delta, it became mandatory for new students to meet with a counselor and start planning out that educational path. And we've focused on it quite a bit on the show here at Delta 360, is student success and making sure students have the tools they need. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in our final segment when we come back. So stay tuned for more Delta 360 here on KWDC 93.5, the voice of Stockton. You're now listening to Delta 360 on KWDC 93.5 FM, the voice of Stockton. And welcome back to our final segment here on Delta 360. Thanks for sticking around with us. And we're talking with, not graduates necessarily of Delta, but transfer students from Delta College from the 1960s. We've got Abraham Mackey, Valakoba, and Denny Atai. Thank you so much for joining us again today. And we were just talking about how back in the 60s, the term cultural diversity hadn't even really been coined yet. And here at Delta, it's such a constant, or I don't even think it's limited to here at Delta, just in our cultural, in our culture in general, because of world events and the U.S., you know, talks about the borders being open or closed and this sort of thing. It's sort of all over the place now. How have you guys seen the youth, I guess, or what's your take on what do you see in the youth and their, how are they different now in terms of their being open to other ideas and other cultures compared to when you were in college? How would you rate us, I guess is what I'm saying, in terms of our ability to be open-minded and accepting of other ideas and other cultures that they weren't raised in?
I work with a lot of multi-ethnic groups in town, and I think that the young people of today are much more culturally aware. I mean, there are things in history that were not even touched when we went to high school and community college in the 60s, but now this is like a second generation. There are young people that have grown up with ethnic studies, and they come back and they inspire the younger people that are going to Delta now. There's particularly in Stockton. For an example, there is a group in Stockton called Little Manila, which is a Filipino youth-oriented. And these young people, well, I consider them young people. They're people that are in their 30s, like
thank you,
like you, exactly. Young people that go to the high schools and they instill a desire to learn ethnic culture to the high school students, who of course are 15, 16, 17, and 18. They have clubs. We didn't have in the 60s in there were not particularly ethnic clubs that I can remember.
Well, there were language clubs,
right?
You know,
yeah,
French
Spanish
clubs,
if it was a club, it was about just about the language,
right?
And let's go visit that place.
Right.
But it wasn't particularly about cultural events, cultural history, and I think that the young people now are really lucky to have these opportunities.
Of course, now we also have classes that are all about learning Western religions, learn about Eastern religions, and the impact that those have from an anthropological standpoint. And I personally feel grateful to live in a time where we've sort of evolved. Obviously, there's plenty to still work on here in this country when it comes to race relations and things like that. Sometimes you wonder if we're moving in the right direction because of some of the things that you hear on the news and some of the politicians and things that they say. But I do feel like even if it's slowly, we are moving culturally in the right direction, progressive here in the United States towards freedom and inclusion and all those sorts of things. And not to get overly political here in our last segment, but that's sort of the thing. I'm curious, how have you seen Stockton change in general? If we widen it outside of Delta, outside of Stagg, where you guys went to school, how has Stockton changed either for the better or maybe not for the better over the last, 30, 40 years?
Well, there wasn't the... back in those days, there wasn't the emphasis on, Stockton is a crime-ridden place idea. I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of stuff going on that wasn't good, but it wasn't like it is now where that, people think of Stockton as...
Well, mainly it's because of the drugs and the gangs that have been so dominant,
right,
in this area.
Which wasn't an emphasis then. I mean, right. Of course, that was the beginning of the quote-unquote drug culture amongst college kids. And
yeah. Well, the thing for diversity with me is my wife, she's German, okay? So that meant our kids were Chinese and Anglo. My daughter just got married, and she married a Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
Back then in the 60s, you did not have that, you can't go and date this person outside of your race. That even for me, when I dated a girl, I'm Chinese, and she was Japanese,
aww,
my mother nearly flipped her lid.
Your mother?
My mother.
Okay.
And so what I was seeing going around in the other families is that thing where you're supposed to stay within your race. But
I
nowadays...
see.
Much more acceptance totally across the board.
Yeah, if those attitudes still exist, they're hidden, or they're I guess scared into hiding for the sake of not being politically correct.
Certainly the same thing relates to sexual orientation. I mean,
sure,
we didn't even have those discussions back then, and when we did, it was usually in a pejorative sense, making fun of what we thought, people were different and everything. And now I see young people being very open and understanding that they know people have different, they're different, not everybody is the same, except when there is a, maybe a religious idea that reinforces certain agendas. I see younger people today are much more open and understanding that way.
Yeah, I agree. And, I would hate for anyone's opinion, no matter what it is, for them to feel like they can't share it openly. Obviously, freedom of speech in this country allows anyone to say any kind of hateful thing as long as it's not inciting violence or anything like that. And but at the same time, I am glad to see that we're making those steps and moving towards a more inclusive, a more understanding environment. And hopefully we continue to see that in the coming, you know, decades, that sort of thing. But yeah, so I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for taking the time to come to Delta 360 today. It's very special for me having my dad on the air here and having his friends on the air with us. And it's very, very cool. And thank you.
And I'd like to add just one quick thing. You know,
yeah.
I have four children, and every one of them has benefited so much from Delta College.
Yeah.
I mean, you sitting here doing what you're doing right now and preparing for a career in video production.
Multimedia.
Multimedia.
Right. Sure.
And your younger brother, Chris, who got his start as a classical choral singer here at Delta.
That's right. The program
was so great.
Fantastic music program here.
It really helped him a lot. And the same thing with our daughter right now is...
Yeah, my cousin got in one of the first classes on electron microscopy.
Oh, yeah.
And then she went on to work
one of the newest editions.
Right.
Excellent. Yeah. Fantastic. Did you have any kids, grandkids that went to Delta or go to Delta?
I work with young people that have attended Delta or will attend Delta, because I work with some very, very young ones. And Delta College has always been a very important part of Stockton. It really has created many aspects of this community. It has encouraged people, always encouraged, even from the times that we went to Delta College, to be the best that they can be. We have many famous people from Stockton who have gone to Delta College.
And my aunt, who was raised with me as my, like an older sister, went to Delta College, well, it was still Stockton College before it was even called Delta, and that's where she got in her nursing career, which lasted until just the last couple of years. She got her vocational nurse's degree here. It was an excellent program.
Fantastic. Well, that's outstanding. That's exactly what I was hoping we would be able to discuss today. And I want to thank Denny Autai, Val Akoba, and Abraham Mackey for joining us here on Delta 360 today. That is our show. We want to thank San Joaquin Delta College, the radio television department here, the KWDC Foundation and its members, and also listeners like you. Without you, we would not even have a purpose for being the voice of Stockton. So we want to say thank you, wish you all a happy weekend, and stay tuned for more community-based programming here on KWDC, the voice of Stockton.